Hello.
Hey, Marcus, how you doing, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
Appreciate your time, man. Welcome to the Naptown A Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is the Naptown A Show, and, you know, you can be yourself. This is uncensored everything. This show will be on Spotify, Google Podcast, what else? Many other streams out here, especially on Anchor FM, anchor.fm. So once again, thank you, Marcus, for being on the show. Let everybody know who you are. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Marcus Blackwell, Jr., and I'm the founder of Make Music Count, which is a new cool app where we teach kids how to get better at math by learning how to play the piano.
Hey.
So even if you never played the piano before, you can do so just by applying your knowledge of how to add and subtract fractions. So kind of like a two-in-one where you're getting better at your math because it's engaging mathematics, showing kids how you can directly apply it, and you're enjoying learning all the popular songs that you hear on the radio. So
So it's like, say if you download a song from, say if you download Drake's song, and you can upload that to the app, and they can start playing the piano from there and start learning math. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, so we have a whole bank of songs that are actually lessons. So if you were to pick on that Drake song, right, it would open up, and then the math equations would pop up, and you answer those math equations, and those would be the notes to play the melody of that song. And then you would immediately play it with the actual song in the background once you finish.
Okay, cool. How long has that been together?
The app is fairly new. The app might be a couple months old now.
Okay.
But I've actually been doing this business for about 6 years. It started out as an after-school program where it was like a physical class with like pianos and workbooks and instructors. And it was really great. You know, we were having some great impact. Kids were having a blast. The problem was we weren't impacting enough students.
Right.
You know, in an after-school program, all kids don't go to after-school. And then
right.
in the class, you know, we could only serve like 20 to 25 kids. So we made the app as a way to, you know, have schools use this on the iPads and tablets they have during the school day just so that every kid can use it. And then since it's an app, you can use it on your phone and at home as well.
Cool, cool. Now, of course, you said that you were doing it as an after-school program, so you've been involved in the education field, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was about 6 years. Yep, it was 6 years. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's funny, I didn't go to school to be an educator, but when I kind of created this method, it was first to help me with my own math phobia. And as a piano player, yeah, that's where this came from. You know, I actually wasn't very good at math growing up, but I played the piano my whole life. And so I'm like, once it finally clicked that playing the piano was understanding math, that was my confidence booster. So I even went and then majored in math in college and just made this method as a way, you know, to help people learn how to play the piano. And then I was like, you know what? I bet you this could help kids that were like me, that, mm-hmm. you know, thought math wasn't cool, was scary, intimidated by it. But since music is so popular and powerful, you know, we're deliberately picking, like, you know, songs by Cardi B, songs by Drake, songs by 2 Chainz, and, you know, Taylor Swift on purpose, because that's the engaging piece. That's what the kids want to learn. So once I see their favorite song, they forget that they were supposed to not be good at math.
Okay. Now, you also doing music. What kind of music do you do? Do you hip hop or R&B, jazz, blues? What kind of music?
Yeah, so I started playing the piano at 5 and learned classical first, then switched over to jazz and gospel, piano and organ. I actually, you know, grew up in a household where rap wasn't really allowed, so this is really the first time that I'm actively playing hip-hop music. Like, I've always listened to it, but you know, as far as like playing it, learning it, that wasn't really a thing. So that's why it's kind of ironic that that's the exact music that I have to use to connect to the kids, you know?
Mm.
You can't bring gospel music in an after school program anyway, so well, what are you going to use, you know?
Can't bring gospel music after, well, they took prayers out of school, so yeah, I can see.
Yeah, that. Right. Mm. Yeah, you can't do it. It's religious, so you can't bring it.
Okay, you ever, I know you are a fan of Quincy Jones, so it's carefully assumed,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, my grandmother loved Q's Juke Joint. I remember back on the block, that's where my, you know, I'm an 80s baby, so that's when I started listening to Quincy Jones, and he's pretty much, man, you might as well say he's music, because he's been around, he produced everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. So is there anything else you would like to do in your career as far as?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that Make Music Count is a great platform that's really going to help a lot of kids from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
But as an entrepreneur, I would love to be able to become an investor in other entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, as a Black entrepreneur in the tech field, now that I'm a, you know, have an app or a technology company.
Mm-hmm.
It's much harder for minority entrepreneurs to get investment and funding. And to be honest, there's so many fantastic ideas that just need help,
yeah.
You know, the exposure, that just need the funding to get started. And I really want to be able to do that, you know, where I can help other entrepreneurs because, you know, I built mine from the ground up, but everybody can't do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I would love to be able to help other entrepreneurs and, you know, wherever this will take me, I really have no issues with any direction. You know,
mm-hmm.
my dad even mentioned to me that I should look into, you know, politics to help with education on like a bigger reform level. And I was like, okay, you know, let's redefine how we talk about education. You know,
mm-hmm.
this would be a great example. You know, it'd be awesome to get other teachers to think outside the box because, you know, our traditional way of learning isn't helping the kids anymore.
No,
you know,
not.
We have to got to create things that excite them, you know, that meet them where they are. And, you know, a lot of the times it's going to come from somebody who's not an educator. Like, I wasn't traditionally trained to be an educator. You know, that's why I started in after school space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need a teaching degree to work in after school space. You just have to have a love for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, spending that time in the classroom with them taught me what kids like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the traditional learning, obviously, is not working because I had Dr. Steve Perry on the show, Dr. Marco Clark. Both of them are CEO and founders of their charter schools.
Yep.
And they, you know, they disagree that the traditional learning that the kids been getting is not working for them. And, you
right.
know, one educator said that, you know, you can have you're diagnosing these kids with ADHD, right? And
mm-hmm.
really, it's not really the case. I mean, the teachers just don't, he cannot interest, he can't keep the interest of the student. If you put a video
see,
game.
That was my issue with math growing mm-hmm. up. It wasn't that I wasn't a good student. I was an excellent student.
Right.
But I didn't have a teacher that cared enough to connect it to something that I actually liked,
mm-hmm.
you know? Everyone's not just going to sit down and start learning formulas and learning equations. Like, that sounds boring.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just being honest, it's a teacher's job to connect the lesson with the student's interest. You know, you got to be culturally relevant, you know, and having teachers that aren't from the community that they're teaching in,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Because, like, once again, you put it, you know, some of these kids, you can put another program in front of them that would, you know, it's like a game or something that would interest the kid, you know, because kids love games and it can be very learning, you know, it can be a great learning experience for the kid. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, once again, the app, how can the people mm-hmm. download your app and how can people?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, of course, it's in every store, Apple Store, Google Play, if you
mm-hmm.
just search Make Music Count.
Mm-hmm.
But an easier way to do it is if everyone just takes out their phone and open up a new text message, you're going to text the word math MABH to the number 55678. And a link directly to the app will come right to your phone. So if you just text the word math to 55678, it'll come right on up.
Okay. Now, what are the challenges you have been going through as an entrepreneur?
Oh, there's a lot of them. But so number one, we talked about the funding issue earlier. So with building an app, so fortunately, I was able to build a business around after-school programs. So we had about 60 schools using our program at one time. So I was able to really start to self-fund the next step. Other than that, it's, you know, our math curriculum is really quite unique. It's something that no one's heard of before, no one's seen before. So getting into the school systems was difficult because, you know, people would have had to take a chance on a curriculum that isn't directly from Common Core or, you know, coming down the food chain like that, right?
Right.
So, you know, fortunately, through a lot of perseverance, we were able to just have somebody take a chance. And that's really what entrepreneurs need is an opportunity to prove themselves, you know, to essentially show what they've created. And in most cases, they'll shine. Other areas, I mean, but there's lots of resources at the same time. So even though I was bootstrapping my own company, there's lots of pitch competitions entrepreneurs can join and go after, like the Creator Awards through WeWork.
Right.
That was an amazing pitch competition that I was able to participate in, and I was able to win, you know, an additional $72,000 to help. You know, New Schools Venture Fund is a cohort out of San Francisco that also invests into early stage. It just depends on what your area is, but you have to put yourself out there. You know, you can't wait for somebody to come and find you. It's not going to happen. You know, you have, like, I mean, I'm old, but like you said, you're an 80s baby. I was born in 87. So
yeah.
Like I went out there and started knocking on doors, man. Like, hey, you know, walking up to a school and saying, hey, can I get 5 minutes of your time to be able to share with you something I think that will help your kids? And, you know, got some doors slammed in my face sometimes, but that's part of it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't quit. So there's lots of, you know, roadblocks, you know, set up for when you venture out on your own, but it's got to be in you to not let that stop you.
So let's just off the topic of entrepreneurs, the most popular trending topic, I mean, the most trending topic right now has been the R. Kelly documentary.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I did.
What's your thoughts?
It's awful. It was awful.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go right out and say I believe every single one of those women.
I do, too.
100%. I'm not even going to defend nothing. Like, it was horrifying. And to be honest, you know, I'm an expecting father of a baby girl in March.
Congratulations, so like, anyways.
Thank you. But, I mean, it was awful to see, you know, a monster like that ruin people's lives back then and to this day.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, even R. Kelly aside, this really opened up a conversation that needed to happen within the Black community of us taking better care of our Black women, of believing them, giving them an open space to, you know that it's okay to share when things are wrong. And I mean, it opened up a whole can of worms with just men in general, you know, taking care of women the way that we should. So, yeah, I watched it, and it was just awful.
You know what? What I got out of it, you know, first, when I listen to, I'm like you, I believe every single woman, except one of them was named Lisa Van Allen, who was involved in the threesome sex with the girl on the tape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
I think she kind of BS'd on how the tape got leaked. She said she left it in the room.
Was that in part two? I only watched part one.
Oh, man, they got, Oh God,
I watched the first day. I didn't watch the second day.
I watched all four episodes last night.
Oh wow. Yeah, so I didn't catch that part. The first day was enough. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I was almost like that myself. It was, you know, the half of the second episode. I was like, okay, I can't take no more. Take no more. But I wanted
it would stop.
I know. I know. I wanted to ask you: would you still listen to his music today?
No. No. I was sad to see that. On Spotify, his music actually
went up 16%.
Like, I'm dumbfounded by that. But no, you know, and you know, the thing that bothered me the most about all of that is, you know, I just, again, as a soon-to-be father, like, I couldn't believe that the parents just didn't know. I think what was happening was that a lot of them were making good money off of R. Kelly, and so they were turning a blind eye to it.
Right.
And I think that we just have to take a stand for this, man. So, no, I'm not going to be listening to any of that. I'm not going to have it as an example in any of my, you know, music, math lessons, like nothing. Nothing. So.
Okay. So, where are you from exactly?
I'm originally from Connecticut, but I live in Atlanta now.
Okay. How long have you been in Atlanta?
Oh, man, since 05.
05?
Yeah, I moved down here to go to Morehouse.
Oh.
My dad is from Atlanta, so I kind of grew up always down here over the summers.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing grandma, uncles, cousins. So I was always familiar with Atlanta, but moved down here in 05, and, I mean, Atlanta was great to me, man. Like, Morehouse was excellent. I got my first job here, and I was a pianist for some of the churches in the area.
Okay.
So I just, you know, met my wife here.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going anywhere.
So you've been in the music industry. Is anybody you worked with in the industry?
No. So I've never been like in the artist space. I've always been like a church musician. That's really the extent of my music career, if you can say that.
Right.
I did, you know, play for a mega church here in Atlanta.
Okay.
But that's really it, you know, and that's why, like, my area of expertise has really been, like, you know, education and, you know, working with presenting the superintendents and principals and, you know, dealing with investors and tech, you know, the tech industry stuff. So, you know, the music industry is actually, I'm really interested in connecting with them because the most I've done so far is work with some nonprofits, like, for example, the Usher New Look Foundation. We work with the kids that are there. So I'm really interested in the music industry kind of finding out about what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because I know they would get behind how we're literally using, you know, their songs to improve kids' performance in math. Like, it's something that's very new. And I think they would really get behind that.
Well, what is your thoughts as far as the future of education? Like, how do you think is there's hope for in the education field? Well, I wouldn't say in education field, period, for young African-American children. You know what I'm saying? As far as the African-American community. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, no, there's absolutely hope, hope, you know, teaching is hard, you know, so I think we have to really start looking into treating teachers better,
okay.
You know, paying them more, because they're the ones that are literally, you know, guiding the teacher of these young kids, you know, and pay is a real issue. You know, and that's why I was actually really fortunate to kind of go the vendor of the district route versus being an actual teacher.
Okay.
Because I would see the horror stories and everything. But there's definitely hope, you know.
Yeah.
I really believe that, you know, what we created is a creative way that's going to shake up how we teach. Because here's the thing, a lot of people, if you notice, education is hot right now.
Yeah.
You know, like LeBron James is talking about it.
He
P. Diddy opened up his charter school.
But what's been missing
is an example of how to actually change things. And so I think that what we made is the example that people are looking for to be like, this is the creativity we've been looking for, you know, so that we can start actually making change. And then it can help other people, you know, because I did math and music, but somebody could do English and dance. I don't know. I mean, the connections or opportunities are endless. So I think there's hope, you know. I mean, it helped me, and I became a math major. You know, so it's real.
And another one, like, I want to go back to Atlanta because, see, there's crazy reports talking about, and I don't know if they're crazy or not, but, you know, they're talking about the HIV rate. And many people are talking about, oh, you know, and I tell people, I said, you know, Atlanta has been the black mecca in America for quite a while, you know, and people would be scared off because, oh, they got a lot of gay stuff going on. But I'm like, don't worry about that. There's opportunities.
Ain't nobody after, like, nobody's going to attack you. Like, like, I live down the street from a gay bar. Like, I have not been bothered not once. You know, like, and nobody's here. And see, that's the thing. You know, weaponizing.
Stereotyping.
You know, like, that's the same thing to do with black folks. You know, making us feel like we're evil and aggressive and all that. Like, ain't nobody worried about you.
And then, you know, that's how I look at it. I mean, so, as to you, Atlanta is still the come-up state from what I heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In every industry, you know, like, Atlanta's had the music industry on lock. Like, all the music that's been coming out has really been coming from Atlanta. You know, you've got your corporate route if you want to go there. You know, GE Energy's headquarters is here in Atlanta. The tech space is on the uprise. A lot of people are recording movies and stuff here. Like, the Avengers movie was recorded right here on Peachtree Street.
Yeah. And see, I would have loved to do that because I'm a background actor.
Exactly. So it's just like, no, like, and again, coming from Connecticut, Connecticut was a wonderful place. But as far as being in a city where people look like you, and you just, I mean, you could see somebody driving down the street in a Lamborghini, and it's not a rapper. It's just somebody doing well. A regular looking black person, you know? So, I love it. I love it, you know? So,
Okay. I'm glad
to
hear
that. The traffic's bad now.
We're
getting full. We're getting full.
With them big ass heels, and I'm like, dang.
It's all day, too, so.
But once again, I appreciate your time, man, and hopefully we can do an in-person interview because because I'm working on a lot of things this year, and you know, I'm trying to be an entrepreneur myself, start my own radio station, so I'm gonna say that out
loud,
so. Yes, and another thing I wanted to ask you as far as apps go, is it easier to have an app than a website now?
No. Websites are cheaper. I would say what's more popular is probably trying to build apps, but again, running into that roadblock of funding. You know, an app at minimum is going to start at $10,000. You know, and that's just the bare minimum. You know, it's a very expensive area. So I would always tell people to start with the website first. You know, if you have a product, like we started with books, like I was selling books, my workbooks first on my website. So, you know, that's cheap. You can get that done and make it look really nice. You don't have to go the route of the app, but that's just the ways that education is moving in with like virtual reality, augmented reality. So if you're going to have something, you're going to need to make an app for education for sure, because all the kids have Chromebooks and iPads and tablets, you know, that they're given every day. So that's just my thoughts on that.
Okay. Once again, give everybody your information, please.
Oh, sure. So you can go to my website, which is just makemusiccount.com. I'm on Instagram, which is @makemusiccount. I'm on Twitter, @_makemusiccount. And of course, the app is available in every store, Google Play, Apple, for all devices, iPads, phones. And if you'd like a direct link to your phone, you can text the word math to 55678.
Ms. Blackwell, Marcus, appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, man. This has been awesome. Really appreciate it.
Once again, hope to hear from you soon. Wish nothing but great things. Lots of prosperity, peace and prosperity to you. Congratulations
you
on your baby girl. And
yeah, man.
You know,
hope
a smooth pregnancy. I guess.
Thank you, man.
for your old lady, for your wife.
That's right.
Hey, man. Thank you, brother. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.